It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody needs information about the Packers from the Packer professor, Jason Wilde. And yes, Sterling Sharp said, or not actually Sterling Sharp, Shannon Sharp said, I don't think Sterling Sharp talks to much of anybody, which I think he should. I bet he'd be pretty good. But Shannon Sharp said that Jordan Love reminds him a lot of Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's any connection whatsoever. I don't think anything that Jordan Love, I think he'd be more aptly to say that Jordan Love is the opposite of Aaron Rodgers. But I'll defer to Jason. There may be some skills. But today's show, NFL, all-time minimum 750 rushing attempts. He is ninth best all-time, 5.05 yards per rushing, Aaron Jones. He is ahead of Cam Newton. He is ahead of Gale Sayers. He is ahead of Barry Sanders. And he is ahead of Jonathan Taylor. Those would be 10, 11, 12, and 13 all-time. Aaron Jones, ninth best in the history of the NFL in yards per carry. Had no idea. And notice, before you say it's because he's played so little, he has 1,170 carries. Gale Sayers, 991. Jonathan Taylor is 925. Barry Sanders does have a few more. 3,062. And if Aaron Jones gets to 3,062, he will no longer be ahead of Barry Sanders. But still. And nobody, as they have no appreciation for Aaron Jones, has an appropriate appreciation of Robbie Gould. Best field goal kicker ever with more than 400 field goals made. 86.5%. Robbie Gould. Justin Tucker is better, but he has only 395. So that's Justin Tucker's the greatest kicker ever. I think he's over 90%. And the trivia question today from Rain Man that you need to know about is backup quarterbacks Malik Willis, Jim McMahon, Matt Flynn, Zeke Bradkowski. Joining us now is Jason Wilde. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. What do you say to the realization that in the history of the NFL, rushing attempts at least 750, Aaron Jones is ninth best all time at 5.05 yards per carry, better than Cam Newton, Gale Sayers, Barry Sanders, and Jonathan Taylor? Does that mean they never should have traded him?
Well, they didn't trade him. They cut him. But, it's true. Yeah, bottom line is he was always probably underappreciated. He also probably was underutilized, right, which helps his average.
And he got hurt.
Because he had injury problems too. But, if they had made him a workhorse-type back and he had carried as much as some other primary running backs do, his average prop most likely would have gone down through no fault of his own. But the fact that not every run is going to be well blocked, and if you have a high volume of carries, that kind of stuff happens. But the bottom line is he's a really good player. I say this as a big believer that he was underappreciated and underutilized, but the odds are that he'll go to Minnesota and it won't turn out all that great, right? Because that tends to be what happens in Minnesota. Brett Favre was kind of the exception that proved the rule with how he played in 2009. But generally speaking, guys that go there, Greg Jennings wasn't ever as productive as he was in Green Bay. There's a history of guys that have all gone there that it didn't turn out like they were able to replicate what they did in Green Bay. So chances are that'll be the case with him. But he was a really, really, really good player that I don't think was nearly as appreciated. Maybe not by fans. Maybe fans actually did appreciate him. Maybe just by the coaches and the way he was sometimes underutilized.
Shannon Sharp said that Jordan Love reminds him a lot of Aaron Rodgers. And I said, I don't think there's anything about Jordan Love that reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. But I said, I will defer to you from the football playing, maybe.
Yeah, personality-wise, they're vastly different, right? I mean,
correct.
I don't
right.
I don't see any similarity there. But, you know, as we've seen, you know, he the TV networks do a great job of this, showing different examples of plays that Jordan Love made last season that looked very, very, very similar to plays that Aaron Rodgers made. The way he – but that's not necessarily – he looks like Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers learned some of those techniques from Brett Favre. Like, to me, the big one, and I know Rodgers talked about this going all the way back to when we were doing the radio show, that this whole idea of your feet being off the ground when you make the actual throw, right? You step into it, but then your feet come off the ground, because if your knees, if your foot's not planted, it makes a hell of a lot harder for you to suffer an injury of somebody crashing into your legs and your leg is planted and you tear your ACL. So, you know, Tom Brady had that happen, right? His leg was planted when he tore his knee up in whatever that was, 08 maybe. And so there's some, certainly there's plenty of similarities or things that they do in a similar fashion. But in terms of the kind of guy, you know, the personality he has, you know, I'm sure that there have been times when Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love have disagreed on something, but I doubt that things were as disagreeable as they tended to be with old number 12.
Now, strength of arm. I remember when Aaron Rodgers first started and somebody said his arm was stronger than Brett Favre, and I went, "You're crazy." And they go, "I don't know who it was. Maybe Jennings." Goes, "Yeah." I don't know. What's the relationship of Jordan Love's arm strength compared to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I don't think his arm's as strong, but I also think that one similarity that he does share with him is the, his ability to flick the wrist, and it increases the velocity and the rotation of the ball. I mean, he throws a tight spiral, and I think it's because, like Aaron, Jordan has really long fingers, grips the ball very effectively. The Packers have always looked for that. They don't mind short arms like on Bulaga, but they want quarterbacks with big hands. And I think he's got a strong arm. I don't think it's as strong as Rodgers. And I do think Rodgers, again, according to receivers, because I never caught really either one of them, the guys that played with both did say that they thought Rodgers threw a stronger fastball. But again, those were guys that, you know, got to play with Favre
at the end,
toward the end, right? Like Jennings, and I think Driver said it at 1.2. I mean, back in 92, 93, when he was a young buck and, you know, Holmgren was telling him not to throw any rocket balls. Remember that phrase? Maybe Favre's arm was stronger then. I don't know. I'd be curious, like, what the velocity is for Rodgers now, right? I mean, he's going to be 41 years old in December. I doubt he's throwing it as hard as he was back in 2006 when Greg Jennings probably made that comment.
And then Rodgers viewed as an incredible thrower and accuracy. I don't know that that's going to be a strength to the same level for Jordan Love. I'm not sure.
No, I don't think it is. And I think he has improved, but I don't think, like, and I hate saying this because then, you know, you get kind of labeled a Love hater, which I am most definitely not.
Everybody likes Jordan Love.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. But, like, when you point out some minor flaws, like, you know, he obviously his accuracy numbers improved during the course of the season, right? But he is more accurate than he was. How much more accurate can he become based on where he is now and how much more room there is for better accuracy? I don't know. But I think it's really important to acknowledge that Matt LaFleur's scheme does a better job of creating bigger windows to throw into than Mike McCarthy's did. And so Rodgers had to have better velocity, better accuracy, because the windows were smaller. I'm not saying every window that Love throws into is the size of our Pella windows and doors of Wisconsin.
Nice
bay
for
window
your appearance today.
That we're going to get installed next week. I'm saying that there are times when he's got some pretty big windows where he doesn't have to throw it quite as accurately into a tiny window. Now, there's other times where he fits the ball in the very small windows and deserves every bit of credit he gets for his accuracy. I don't think he's inaccurate. I just don't think he's as accurate as Rodgers.
Well, it can be accurate that no one's any more accurate than Rodgers when you hear people
talk about him. So I was just going to say, yeah, he's one of the most accurate.
I have to be on your show tomorrow. What am I doing?
You have to be. Well, I mean, you have the privilege to be.
Okay, I have the privilege to be. Fine.
Thank
you. All right, thanks, Dad. What am I doing?
I love you, Steve. Have a good practice.
I'm having, that was never said once in my life. What's your name was said. Well,
are you an orphan?
Greg, Jeff. Fine. Go back to work, Dad. That's good.
This is the third annual Bold-a-thon.
All right, good. I'm glad I asked this because I tell you often that I don't have a bias and I don't. But I am going to have a bias on this because my thing is going to be about Jair Alexander, and it's going to be because I'm a huge fan of the new T-Buck, not the T-Buck I thought I knew when he played. And he, of course, is Jair's biggest promoter. So so what would I have to
Jair.
Go with Jair, 8 interceptions? That would be the interceptions would be the surprising part, right?
No, I don't think it would be. I think you could make a
– He's going to be Pro Bowl.
All pro.
Nah, I'm not.
If you want to be bold.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
pro Bowl isn't bold enough. Okay. All right.
No.
All pro. All right. I got it.
So I think it's important, you know, because I think there definitely was a misconception when they hired Halfley that it was because they were reacting to the system that Joe Barry ran where they played all this zone and the umbrella to keep everything in front of them that the scheme that they ran, that they were going to run under Halfley was going to be heavy on man-to-man
aggressive
bump and run coverage. Yeah. And that's really not what they're doing. I think
really?
You'll see this on Friday.
Wow.
They still run some rather simple zone coverages because they want vision to the football. They call it vision and break coverage.
Explain
which
that.
Is not a term that I had heard before he came on.
Everybody goes vision to the football. That's the whole point of playing.
No, it's not. Man coverage is the exact opposite of that, Homer. Man coverage, I mean, that's why Al Harris, as great as he was, had like seasons where he had 2 interceptions because when you play man coverage, you very rarely see the ball coming out of the quarterback's hands. You don't have vision to the football. And so as great as he was, his interception numbers were poor. And one of the issues with the Joe Barry defense was that they didn't get turnovers. Last year, the Packers had 7 interceptions.
Right, and that's because the players weren't very good.
No, that's not it.
Okay. Well, that's what they're saying.
Rudy Ford led them in interceptions with 2.
See, to me, vision of the football is in defense. Everybody rushes to the ball, wherever it is. You know, like
No. Vision. We're talking about vision when it's leaving the quarterback's hand,
okay.
And it is, in theory, not possessed by anyone. Of course, they want guys running to the football once, A.J. Brown.
But I thought
Friday
that was a thing they're
football.
Focusing on, too, isn't it?
Right. That's rallying,
rallying
to the football,
okay.
Is what I would call that.
All right.
As opposed to this, which, again, the point is that – I'm sorry. The mail must be here or something. The point is that this is – a system where they're going to see the ball coming out of the quarterback's hands. And that means you have a better chance of intercepting it than you do when you have your back turned because you're playing press man coverage on the receiver you're covering.
But
so,
let me ask you, in past to all your time with the Packers, do you remember discussions about certain years going, well, they would have had more interceptions, but they couldn't because of the style of defense?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about, like, when they played – when Al Harris played in the Bob Sanders system, that was one of the things he taught. And quite frankly,
before Dom Capers.
Before Dom Capers. Okay. And then in Dom's system, he still played, let's be honest, Al Harris still played locked man coverage. That was what he was great at. Might be the best ever to do it, frankly, in NFL history. I think if you talk to guys that know more about the game and that aspect of the game than I do. But they also played more zone coverage. I mean, you look at what Charles Woodson was able to do. Like, he had a season where he had 9 interceptions.
Right.
Now, some of that was in man coverage. But the idea here is Jair Alexander and the safeties and Eric Stokes are going to see the ball in the air more frequently. And that means they should be able to take it away. And if we can use training camp as an example, they had more interceptions during training camp than they had in the last probably three training camps combined. So there is definitely something to that. And so Jair, after having, I think, one interception last year, and obviously he missed 10 games, nine with injury and one with the suspension when he appointed himself captain, I think he's going to have more opportunities to make those plays. The fact that they finished, because remember...
Well, wait a minute. I would feel better about that training camp if Rodgers was there. Okay, if you had a lot of interceptions against Rodgers in any situation, that would be impressive, right?
I mean, I think it definitely qualifies as impressive.
Right.
But I also think it's important to point out that I don't think everybody they had last year was a bum, right? Like, just because Carrington Valentine and Corey Valentine had a play, I still think the system was the bigger problem because when you only have seven interceptions and only one team in the entire league has fewer than you did, you know, if you have a system where, okay, they don't have
how
as
about
much
the year
vision
before?
To the ball, I'd have to go back and look. I don't have it in front of me. I'm trying to keep dogs from barking during my segment. But the reality is that they will have more opportunities. Whether they cash in on them or not, we'll wait and see.
So will they have 10 because of the better system? How much are you willing to say?
So if you're looking to be bold tomorrow, you say 10. If you're looking to be realistic tomorrow, which is not the point of the bold-a-thon, which, of course, as you can imagine, I'm terrible at. Yeah, I know. I know how important that is to
you. It is.
And I try to be accurate. I don't really enjoy predicting the future all that much. But if you want to be more likely correct, if you say, you know, I think he's going to have six interceptions, seven interceptions, that's probably much more realistic than predicting 10, but it's not nearly as bold.
All right, how many did the team have last year?
Seven.
Well, then I'm going to go as team.
Jair
can
will
I
have
go?
More How about Jair will have more interceptions than the Packers had as a team?
Yes,
all of last
and
season.
As a team, the Packers will have triple, at least 21.
That's bold. I like that. You're bold. I'm glad we could workshop this.
Did anybody, any team? What I got to check to see the top teams. I don't want to be stupid bold.
Well, it's never stopped you before.
Yes, it has. I never once thought it was stupid bold. I never did stupid bold. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I could be stupid wrong, but it was never.
Oh,
no.
This guy. I don't keep all the receipts because
yeah,
I just
know.
Don't have
That's
time
correct.
For that. But
you don't care enough. Is the reality of it. If you cared, you remember the stuff coaches said. And then you remember those things.
I remember lots of stuff you say. I mean, right. Usually it's about your father's issue.
Yes,
father.
That's true. Jair, all right. He had one last year.
So if you, again, I don't know why I'm helping you do this.
No,
I'm
going with 21. I'm going to go. I'm checking other teams. I'm going to go with the triple because then I'm not doing it and I'm biased toward Jair because I like Terrell Buckley. All right. Well, that'd be some good numbers to that I'm sure you'll get into. Has anybody written such a story? Or are there fumbles? Are there turnovers, too? Or was it just no interceptions? Did they get many fumble recoveries? I mean, they had very few turnovers, right?
Yeah. They were in the bottom third of the...
Do you think they'll increase in fumbles, or will the bigger increase be in interceptions? I sense interceptions from what you're telling me, vision to the football.
Yeah. I mean, to your point that you were just bringing up about rallying to the ball, that tends to
fumbles,
lead to more fumbles.
Got it.
So maybe they're able to do that.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. Yes, I'm honored to be on the show tomorrow. I think it's 9:45. Pebble, you have any bold predictions?
So you're taking Jair with eight interceptions?
Nah, I can't do that many. I'm taking Jacobs to lead the league in rushing. What do you think about that?
That's bold, yeah.
Yeah. That could happen because they aren't going to have a backup. And I don't believe in LaFleur running the ball that much.
Not when you paid your quarterback all that money, too.
Correct, but that would be worth noting, and that would be bold. But his problem is he's got to stay healthy. All right, Tim Van Boren, not next, but soon.